He died for you. He died for me. From our sin, He set us free. He loved us so. His life He gave. So if we ask, we can be saved.
Hello, I'm Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power, and it is exciting times that we are living in. If you are watching the news, if you're a Christian, then you should be excited. If you are fearful, if you are scared, then you need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Read His Word, and then you will understand that these times must come so that He can come and that we can be with Him throughout eternity. Thank you so much for joining with our broadcast. I want to offer you an invitation to go to my website, hisgospelpower.org. That's hisgospelpower.org. But I would like to give you more training if you would like to get that. All you have to do is fill out your email on the front page there, and there's more training. I will put you on my email list. I will continuously be able to send you things, keep you updated on our ministry as we grow and as we minister to the world and minister to the lost around the world. I am so excited that you join with our ministry. And now let's hear this week's message. John 14 is what we're going to be looking at today in our text. John 14, 8 through 11. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Now my question is, do you trust God? Do you trust God? Philip said, "Show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Don't we do the same thing? God, come down here right before me and do this thing, and then I will believe in you. And even though as Christians we would deny that, we show it in our actions daily. We show it in our actions by just about everything that we do. We believe in God, but do we believe God? We believe in God. If God, in the name of Jesus, I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior, change my life, Lord. Give me eternal salvation. We believe that. That is the greatest wonder that has ever been for mankind. We believe God will save us, but yet in any kind of a crisis or in our daily life, we don't believe God. He's not strong enough to maintain this physical life, but yet He can hold our eternal life in the palm of His hand. We can believe that. How come we can't believe Him for the blessings of this life? How does that work? Jesus answered to Philip, "Don't you know me? Even after I have been among you such a long time, don't you know me? I've been with you for 50 years. Many of us have known Jesus maybe 50 years. And Jesus is still saying, "Don't you know me?" He says, "I've been around you for such a long time. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own." This is Jesus speaking. "Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing the work. Believe in me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe in the evidence." Jesus has even given them an out. He said, "Look, if you can't believe all that, at least believe in the evidence." This was a great week for me. I got to sit under the co-founder of Liberty University, Elmer Towns. He is a great man for God. Has written umpteen thousand books. Has only published about 126 of them. And he is well respected in the Christian community. And he sits up there and he's 79, going to be 80 soon. He tells us about his faith in Christ. He tells us about the faith that he has seen. And part of our assignment this time was to start a 31-day journal. A 31-day journal. And in that journal, I was supposed to write things that seemed impossible to me. Now, I would love to say that I am a great man of faith, and I believe God for huge things, but I can't stand before you here and lie. I can tell you I am just like you. My faith is fairly minuscule, especially when I look back over the 31-day journal that I had to write. God is in the miraculous business. We believe in God, but our faith is so small. We don't believe God. We don't believe what He has told us will continue. I think that's part of the problem is, do you believe that the Old Testament promises are for today? Is because all of those miracles that went on, surely they can't happen any longer. All of those miracles, I mean, this is the 21st century. Come on. We got science that will tell us that ears can't be healed and eyes can't be healed and that spots can't be removed from lungs and from livers and all kinds. It can't happen. This is the 21st century, Rick. We got science. It tells us that can happen. You know, in the first century, they had science as well. And it happened. And it happened before the first century. And it happens in the 21st century. But we have to believe God. It's not only that we should believe in God, we have to trust God to handle our situation that we are in, no matter what that is. No matter what it is. And if you are doing anything short of that, if you are trying to take it back yourself, oh, look at this, I got to handle this, I got to take care of this, what am I going to do? You ain't going to do nothing. You're going to do what God tells you to do, which is pray on your knees and let Him do the work. This is the church. This is not a business. This is the church. Our business is spreading the Word of God. That's a business. I learned several things this week. One, the university at one point in time was about to shut down. I never knew that. $54 million in the hole. Now we're blessed. We really have no debt here. We have a little parsonage debt. But we're blessed as far as that goes. Are we blessed or do we just have no faith? Then that's a whole other question for a whole other sermon. $54 million in debt. And everything was about to be gone. Jerry Falwell, who has always been considered a great man of faith, and they're all looking to him for leadership. And you see, he looked to God for leadership. He decided to go on a fast for that money. At the end of that fast that he did, he took Elmer Towns by the hand, and he says, "Elmer, come up here with me to my office. You're going to see a miracle today." At the end of the day, a man brought in a $27 million check. At the end of another few weeks later, somebody else brought in $27 million more. They paid off everything and were able to keep on going. Everything was paid off. They're out of debt. Because somebody believed God. Didn't just believe in God, but believed God, do you have struggles today in your own finances? We, as Christians, have no business looking at the stock market and trying to decide what our future is. We have no business looking at the finances of the world and saying, well, look, everything's crumbling. We can't do this because, look, everything's crumbling. My God still owns the cattle on 1,000 hills today. He still does. He asks, do we trust Him? He says, are you going to trust me? In 7 years I've been at this church, I have seen God answer our prayer time and time and time again. We should have been keeping a journal. Do you know that I put 5 major requests, what to me were major, 31 days ago, and now I look at them, I say, man, you don't have no faith. Put 5 major requests on that sheet of paper, and every one of them has been answered. 5 major, in my mind, man, oh, this is, man, I'm really believing here. One of them was for like $1,500 lousy. That's great faith, Rick. Man, look at that. You're stepping right out. $1,500. But to me at the time, I didn't have $1,500. And it was stepping out. But God answered that prayer. It happened. Every single one right down the line. Boom, boom, boom. It's been answered. We take the history of the church in 7 years that I have been here. We have run through struggles and we have prayed and we come out on the other end and we say, well, God answered that. God took care of it. And we have continually grown and grown and grown and grown, and God continues to answer our prayers. I almost said He continues to match our faith. Basically, He does, because I think He realizes we don't have any. So it's easy. It's an easy thing for God. It's an easy thing to just watch it and say, you know what? I'll ride along. I mean, if this is all you're going to ask me for, you know, Brother Towns brought out something that I hadn't thought about. God's Word tells us to ask. There is something about the law of God that says, ask. Now, He could just give you every single thing that you want or need without asking. He could do that. But yet, He wants you to do this simple thing, ask. You know why that is? You know, I don't know about any, I can't really speak for any of the rest of you, but God likes to speak to Rick Hurtless. I don't know if any of y'all want to speak to me or not, but God likes to speak to me. He wants to hear me. He wants me to talk to Him. And sometimes in that talking, it's asking. I pray what happens as that goes along is it's more turns into praising and less asking. Especially for the frivolous things that don't matter. For the houses, the cars, the motorcycles, the money. All those frivolous things that mean nothing to God except one. Relationships. Except growing stronger in Christ. Except growing more in Jesus. Otherwise, He doesn't care about any of that stuff. He wants us to grow stronger in our relationship with Him. He wants that communication open. Malachi 3:6 says, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Malachi continues in that chapter talking about the giving as well that the Israelites are not doing. And he calls it robbing God, but he starts with, I, the Lord, do not change. Why does he do that? Because you see, they didn't want to believe God either. The Israelites didn't want to believe God either. Do you know that money, it must be on the lowest list of God. It has to be, but we put it on top. Have you ever thought about that? Probably because our blood, sweat, and tears goes into it. A man must work by the sweat of his brow. And so we know that we have worked for that money that's in our bank account, which is probably the reason that the possessions that we have become dear to us almost, because we know we worked hard for those possessions that we have. Nobody just gave them to us. But what happens is we begin to start looking at that because we're putting so much of ourselves into it and not the relationship with God. And it's that relationship with God that extends our faith and lets us know that I, the Lord, do not change. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Next, John 14, 12 through 14. You will do great things for God. You will do great things for God. And you have to but ask and believe. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. This is Jesus speaking. And there's been many theologians who have tried to say, you know what? This doesn't really apply to today. This meant only, this was just talking euphemistically. This didn't have anything to do with what is actual reality. It only was a euphemism that to know that we can do great things, that we can be good people. That's what theologians, quote unquote, have to say. Scholars. I really wonder about the title theologian. I'm glad that's not what I want. I don't want to be a theologian. I want to be a man for God. I want to be a man after God's own heart. I don't want to be a theologian. Greater things than these will you do. He will even do greater than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now that does not mean, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? I was in a lecture this week, and Brother Elmer Towns starts talking about that song, how stupid the song was and everything. And of course, we're in the Google age. We all got our computers open. You have to have a computer in the class anyway. We all have our computers open. We all have internet on there because it's supplied through the school as you're doing that. And somebody downloaded that song real quick and started playing it. And, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. What a crazy, stupid, idiotic sign. But you know what? Do you know what she was doing? She's talking about us. Lord, I need a new house. We take this book right here and we rub on it like it's a genie in the lamp. God, I've been working hard. I know that you can help me with this test. I know you can give me the new car I want. I know I need some new clothes. We use this like a genie in the lamp. That's not the kind of believing God I'm talking about. I am talking about believing in an almighty God that as our desires of our heart turn to Him, He says, ask anything in my name and it will be done. It is God's will that you prosper for the kingdom of God and brings in souls that there might grow the kingdom. That is God's will. I don't have to pray about that. I was warmed in my heart when Brother Towns starts talking about some issue. I don't remember what it was. He said, you know, I didn't even have to pray about that. I've been praying. I knew what God's will was for it in my life. I didn't have to pray. I just said yes. Because he knew what God wanted. He knew the desire he'd been praying for. God wants us to be in tune with Him. He wants us to know His desire. So when we ask, we will ask with Him in mind. 2 Chronicles 7:14. You've seen this one has been thrown around a lot in the last few years. Because the country, our country, the United States of America, is no longer a Christian nation. You have seen this thrown around. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's truth. It's God talking. And you know what we do? I've even heard it. I've maybe even said it in this church. We all gather together, oh Lord, heal our country. Come into our country. Show people how you should live in their lives. Help them to put you, Lord, of their life. What about you? You see, as long as we keep this scripture in the pointed at the country, it really doesn't point much back at us. It's because that's way out there. See, that's way distant. We're talking about the country now. It's everybody's responsibility to pray for the country. Every Christian in America, it is their responsibility to pray for the country. Some of you deacons need to pull your toes in. Go ahead and do it. Get your shoes up. Scrunch your toes up a little. I pray to the Lord, you know, Lord, should I say this? Okay, he had just answered. So just go ahead and scrunch them all in there. Get all ready. We are supposed to pray for this church. We have a prayer meeting. I know that nobody knows about it because nobody's ever in there. But we have a prayer meeting at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings to pray for this church, for this service, for your pastor. I need your prayers. You know, until just this last few weeks, I was afraid to say that. I was afraid to ask for that. I heard John Maxwell, some of you may have heard of him. He's a great author, he's written millions of books. They pay him thousands of dollars to go to a conference to speak to 30,000 people. And he said, you know what? And he had in his church, he had a prayer time, a prayer service, and the very first thing on the agenda is pray for me. That seems kind of arrogant, doesn't it? It did to me maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. But I begin to understand God is saying, you know, Rick, you need to humble yourself. You need to pray for me. This church is under attack, and it's going to continue to be under attack as we walk for God. When we cease to be under attack means that we're no longer doing anything for God. We have a prayer meeting back there. We usually have about 2 or 3 that go to that prayer meeting and pray. Deacons, where are you? I told you, squeeze your toes in. Now, you might say, well, what about all them other people? Well, God's made you leaders of this church. Well, Rick, there's no need. I can pray at home. Yeah, you can. But you can show the power of prayer and the responsibility to this church by coming to pray at the prayer meeting. Get up a little earlier. If we want, truly, we walk around in this church all the time and say, we want this church to grow for Christ. We don't mean it. We're happy with the way it is. It's okay. It's no big deal. We're proving that by our actions. Because when we call to pray, I don't need to come and join everybody in prayer. I do that at home. God says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And that is even talking about prayer when we come together to encourage one another. When we, you know, this church prides itself on saying we're a church of prayer. We don't really pray. And when we do pray, we don't believe. When we pray, we believe it's for someone else. Psalms 81:13 says, if my people would but listen to me, if Israel would follow my ways, don't forget that you are now grafted in Jew. Okay? You're a Christian. The Bible has told us now we are grafted in Jews. So he's talking to us. The Old Testament prophecies, the Old Testament is still for us today. He hasn't kicked it out. How quickly would I subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes? If you would seek God and listen to Him, how quickly He would come against your enemies. You know what I know that means? It's quicker than that. How quickly would I come against their foes? The ones who stand against us. Those who hate the Lord would cringe before Him, and their punishment would last forever. But you would be fed with the finest wheat and with honey from the rock. I would satisfy you. Malachi tells us to bring the tithe into the storehouse. Why? So that we can do His business. And God bless you, continually bless your finances. That's what He tells us. That's not my words. That's God's words. God wants to bless us. You've heard me say many times these last few weeks, we live by faith and not by sight. By the way, are y'all still glad that I'm back? We walk by faith and not by sight. But we tend to walk by sight and not by faith. I heard so many faith events this week, and then I started looking back at my own faith calendar. It's amazing what God has done in my life. And if you were to start writing it down in your life, that song, Count Your Many Blessings, that time when you just had faith just to walk down the aisle and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that it's grown from there. But if that's all that it has been, then it is time to repent and know that God is calling you to work and act on His behalf. That's what He wants. I'm not talking about working your way into heaven. I'm talking about acting like you believe God. I'm talking about Him blessing His saints. I'm talking about living the abundance life of John 10:10. Believing God. Periodically, we go through a little struggle financially here in this church. And everybody gets a little bit shaky. We have no right to get shaky. Because you know what? There's no knee prints at this altar. When I begin to see knee prints at this altar, and the church is still, then I'll know it's time to, okay, now we need to get shaky because God's not hearing us or not answering us or something. But you know what? There's not any knee prints in this altar. We just about have to dust it off. As I walk every week, I can tell where I walk. Knocks the dust off. Maybe a few little spots. It is time that we believe God. Part of that believing is talking to Him, praying to Him, asking Him, telling Him that we need Him. God's in control. Believe in God and believe God. Thank you for joining with us on this segment of His Gospel Power. I'm Rick Hurtless. This is a listener-supported ministry, so I'm asking for your help. You could help in many ways. You could go to Amazon.com and buy any one of my books. If you just type in Rick Hurtless, you can take a look at the different books that I offer. My latest book is True Freedom. And, of course, you can go to my website, HisGospelPower.org, HisGospelPower.org. And there is a donate button on that website. You can click on that website. You can make a donation that way. Or if you would just like to mail it the old-fashioned way, mail your checks to P.O. Box 1569, P.O. Box 1569, Rockdale, Texas, 76567. And I would appreciate your help in this matter and, in fact, with any future
support that you would like to give to this radio ministry, if it is blessing you, if you are hearing the Word of God and you are being fed on this radio broadcast, it would be my honor to accept your donation so that I might keep bringing it to you.
Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed.